What up, fam? Today on this episode, we're going to be talking about learning how to deal with detours. In our lives, yo, there's going to be times where we make plans and plans and plans, and sometimes none of it ends up the way we thought it would. Really, what's going to happen is your life is going to be determined on how you respond to those detours. So we're going to give y'all some tips, some stories, some good nuggets, and we hope you guys truly enjoy this. Here is Knights at the Round Table. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Round Table. It's your boy, Van Wheezy. To the left is the Queen, Angela Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
To the right, we got Be Real.
Gang, gang.
And we are out in these streets. Man, I feel like it's been a minute since we've been in this room.
I know.
Is it just me? I feel like it's been a minute.
It has.
Yeah, it's been.
You've just been.
Well, we did our last one was the live.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That was a month ago. Sheesh.
Insane.
Jinx, can't say nothing for this episode. I am now the leader of this podcast.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
We're drinking normal stuff because everybody has to drive after this. So.
And it's 9 in the morning.
It's
so.
Early in the morning for a night's episode. So, and got Topo Chico, which I'm jealous.
Yep, I got a Topo Chico.
I got this damn Nestle water.
I got Path. This is like fancy. Look at this bottle. It's metal.
Is that water?
Ooh. Yeah, it's water inside. I'm telling you, these like metal bottles, when it's cold and you got cold water inside, that thing, it tastes like you're drinking it straight from a glacier. Just icy. It goes down.
Glacier water.
Some fancy glacier water.
I know.
Yo, so you got something to read from a book you're reading?
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, hold on.
Let's get into this part of the episode called What You Reading? B got something that he's reading. Yeah. Drop it.
One of the things that I like to do is I like to reread books because I feel like as you grow and as you evolve, you start to see things differently. And that also includes the things that you've read before. And especially when it's truth, like truth has that way. It's like it could hit you once. And then once it comes the way back around, it'll hit you a second time and in a different way.
Yeah.
And so one of the books is called by one of my favorite preachers, actually. It's called Water to Wine, Some of My Story by Brian Zahn. Mm. And he has this quote by Henry Nouwen. And I'm sure you've heard us quote him before. But he says this: when we are crushed like grapes, we cannot think of the wine we will become. And again, like kind of he paraphrases what Jesus talks about, and he says this: no one who has ever tasted fine aged wine prefers unaged wine. And it's one of those things, like in life, like our goal is so many of us to become the best version of ourselves, right? To like go to the highest level, us 2.0. We're always trying to upgrade ourselves in small ways, big ways, and all these sorts of things. And really to the kingdom, like the way to get to the top is through pain and suffering. And that's like not a very sexy message to preach, but it is the necessary one because, again, this is the thing, and we're going to get into this today. I believe that when we go through those kind of situations, it gives us eyes to see things that we would have never else seen unless we went through it.
Yeah.
And so with that, I love that because he's like, that's the thing. It's tough when you're going through it, but you really don't know the beauty that could come out of that.
Yeah.
Like the actual message that gets like inside of you that you get to like encourage other people with and that you get to go through. And then that journey is just going to mean that much more to you.
Yeah. I don't remember learning anything from high times. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Like all my biggest lessons that I've learned have all been through failure and disappointment.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking about my book that's coming out soon in March. And all the stories that are in there, I wouldn't be able to share these stories like if I didn't have them, you know? And from anything from like embarrassing moments of my first red carpet showing up in the poop mobile, that one car that had bird poop all over it, and you know, and to actual like real heartbreak stories and like, you know, my relationship with my dad growing up and things like that. That all made me who I am. Like, you don't think about it in the moment when you're getting spanked, you know, like, oh, I'm going to appreciate this later. You know, like, you don't think that in the moment, but then later on you draw from it And it's part of your well, you know, your deep, deep well of wisdom and your perspective. And, you know, all of these stories help shape your perspective. And when you come into other situations with other people, you have more empathy for people because you have life experience.
Yeah.
If you don't have life experience, you can't really connect with other humans.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about life's detours and dealing with rerouting. Yeah, I remember you have a joke that does that, right? Where you're listening to your navigation and it tells you things too late.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going to be randomly reading quotes throughout too.
Okay.
Just dropping little bombs as we tell our stories.
The first one
is rejection is merely redirection, a course correction to your destiny. Mm. Let's start off with their course correction.
I've experienced a lot of that rejection. I don't like rejection.
I feel all of your rejections.
I know. I feel like you feel them more than I do.
I hate them so much because they make me feel so helpless. Because I can't do anything to help you. I can't do anything to fix it. I just have to sit back and watch you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm always impressed on how you handle it.
I do, though.
Yeah, I'm impressed on how you handle it. But I do, if I'm honest, get worried. Like, how long can she handle it? Like, at what point is she going to look at me and be like, I'm done? And I'm like, oh, damn it.
I know.
I don't want you to ever be done.
I know. We've had conversations where I'm like, I think I'm done, but that's not my true feeling of my heart. It's just I'm over the rejection, the sting of the no, the sting of the not this time, the sting of the almost so close, you know?
There was this Instagram post about our favorite show, Ted Lasso, and the older woman. What's her name in the show?
Rebecca.
And how she... her first like successful or leading role was Ted Lasso at 47.
Wow.
And she won, I think she won an Emmy. They won an Emmy.
Yeah. Oh,
at 47.
So
and the post was like, don't ever let anyone tell you like when success is supposed to happen.
Wow.
And she's like a perfect example. 47 year old single mom, literally struggling all her life.
Hot as hell.
At 47, she freaking gets her thing.
She did it.
I think that's so dope.
And not just like, oh, I finally got a lead acting role.
Yeah.
It's on a hit show.
Yeah.
Like an iconic
and won awards. Show, yeah. Like it's going to set her up to at least like get looks, like actual looks, especially since she's so good in it. But anyways, that's just to say, you know, I'm sure. And I was just watching before I got here, Ed Sheeran, he was talking about the night where he decided, he was like, I'm quitting music. He's like,
really?
Yeah. Cause he's like, man, I'm doing shows. People are coming, but I'm not making any money. I'm broke. He's like, I remember this one night, like it was just late. And he's like, I didn't have any money in my pocket. My phone was dead. I couldn't charge it anywhere. And I had no idea where I was going to stay that night.
Wow.
And he's like, so I went to my friend's house who usually works on music late. Or he's usually working late, and he's like, I think it was like 4:30 in the morning. And he's like, I get there and I have a proper breakdown. Like, I'm just like, I just want to quit. And then he goes, the next morning I woke up with just a different mentality. Like, I just forced myself to look at it differently. And he said 3 years later, he came out with his album Collaborations, which I don't really know. I guess that was like one of his initial albums, and it like took off. And he's like, when I say it was dark. He was like, I was going to go back to university and just get a normal job.
Wow.
Mm. I was done. So he says, when they say it's darkest before the dawn, he's like, it was dark, man. And I'm like, can you believe that?
That's
Ed Sheeran, like, quitting.
Yeah, honestly, like, one of the greatest songwriters in our generation. And, you know, what you're saying, I remember reading this one book. It was called The Upside of Adversity. And he kind of talks about the Joseph calling, right? Joseph here, he's called by God, and then he just goes through hell for years upon years after doing all the right things.
Right.
Like, it's like one thing if someone were to like intentionally try and ruin their life and the consequences of that happening.
Right.
But it's like one thing for another person trying their best, doing all the right things, even when no one else is watching, and for your life to still be hell. Mm. And it was like, and so he talks about this whole thing, but he shares a story about kind of the dark place. And so I'm going to read it because I always find a lot of like good out of this. And he says, an ancient Arabian fable tells of three merchants who crossed the desert. In the daytime, they would pitch their tents for shelter from the desert sun. And when the stars came out, they would ride their camels in the cool of night. At one point, the merchants crossed a dry riverbed under the stars. And all three men jumped down from their camels and they huddled in fear. Who's there? One of them said, don't be afraid. Said the voice in the dark, I won't harm you if you do as I say. You see those pebbles at your feet? And by the dim starlight, the merchant saw thousands of pebbles in the riverbed. Each of you, pick up a pebble and put it in your pocket. The three merchants obeyed, each took a pebble from the riverbed. Now leave this place and don't stop until daybreak. And then the merchants mounted up. One said, what's this all about? I will only say this, the voice replied. In the morning, you will be happy and sad. Now go. Baffled, the three merchants proceeded on their way. And as they traveled, they wondered what the voice meant by saying that they would be both happy and sad. And when the morning came, the merchants stopped, and each man pulled a single pebble from their pocket and saw that it sparkled in the sunlight. The pebbles were precious gems. One man had a ruby, another an emerald, and the third a sapphire. Jewels, one merchant said, his face shining with joy. Oh no, wailed the second. There were thousands of jewels all over the riverbed, and each of us only took one. Why didn't we grab handfuls? Look, shouted the third, pointing behind them. A desert wind had whipped up, erasing their tracks, and we can never find our way back. The voice in the desert had spoken truly. The merchants were happy and sad. They had found wealth in the dark place, but they could have taken more. And I think about that, like in terms of the seasons in our life that are really dark. There is so much treasure to be pulled from those moments.
Yeah.
And coming out of it, it's like, man, I wish I would have grabbed more. And it was just like these merchants, like the voice that said, hey, you're going to be happy and sad. And they pull out their pockets and they had a precious gem and realized that there was so much more available to them, but they only grabbed a little. And this is like one of those stories that I always think about. This fable is like, and especially this year, and I've talked about this constantly on the pod, is that this year has felt like a huge detour in my life. Like a lot of the things that I had planned kind of fell through, and then I got hurt, and then I just wasn't feeling it, or I wasn't in the mood, all those sorts of things. And I've realized, like, even though those plans haven't gone out, my mindset has been in the right place to like learn as much as I can and go as deep as I can. And it's like one of those things, like going deep or learning and just growing in that is one of those things that it's so much easier to read about.
Yeah.
And it's like, we would love to read about it. Like we would really, that would just be the easiest thing, or hear somebody else talk about it and then we could get it. But the truth is, like, you have to go through that on your own. Mm-hmm. Like you have to walk in the dark on your own.
Yeah.
And again, this year has felt walking through the dark for me, but I can honestly say that I am getting so much out of it. Yeah. And like, that's been my intention. That's been my focus, is like, I'm not so focused on whether it's sun out or the moon is out. I'm focused on what can I get here where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So you grabbing handfuls.
I'm trying, man. I brought an extra backpack. I like, yes. I had to declutter my life and get rid of a lot of things emotionally and spiritually and mentally even.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just trying to create more space so that I could actually have more treasure when I'm going through the nighttime.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That's good.
Rejections will redirect you to more exciting roads. When you think your life is falling apart, it's usually falling together in disguise. Your search will throw you on journeys you never would have dreamt of in your mind and in the world.
That's good.
Charlotte Erickson.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Right?
Thanks for that.
I think, for me, I get to do little detours on a constant basis because... like what I do for a living. So when I do my music, my sync music, it's like every freaking time I get an email, hey, you're up for this, and then it doesn't go through. It's like, which is always, it's like so continual. Like I'm up for so many. There's like four things right now that I'm up for that I still haven't heard back from. And I'm always having to like mentally detour to the point where I just stop. Real estate, which is flipping. I'm like, it's a constant detour. You try, you know, we put 3 offers this week and, you know, didn't get any. And then this morning, somebody called us back and said, hey, are you still interested? Because the person that got the offer is no longer, like, we think they're going to bail out. So we may be up next. So it's this constant thing with, like, disappointment and then hope. And I, if I'm honest, a lot of times I find myself, like, wanting to fast forward the process. I start getting angry. I'm like, all right, I should just take all this money and put it in Bitcoin. I should just go do something else that's going to happen faster, because I hate waiting and feeling like, oh man, this is never going to happen for me. And mind you, I've only tried this flipping thing for like not even a year, and I'm like upset that it's not happening faster. But I think that's with everything, right? I think that's part of the disappointment. Whenever you do have to detour, is that you had a plan, and that plan was to get from A to B as freaking fast as possible.
Yeah.
No stops, no waiting, no bathroom breaks. You just wanted to get there so that you can feel what you deem to be success. And then you get all these detours and it makes you think, ah, oh, I should have went left back there, or I should have took this route, or why didn't I do Waze, the Waze of life instead of Google Maps? You know, I'd be thinking that all the time. I should have did this, I should have did that. I could have been farther, I could have been so much more. And I just find myself, when I get into those situations or mental situations, I find myself, that's when I start acting out of character, or start wanting to take it into my own hands and just start pushing the pace, as opposed to just letting things happen or letting God like flush it out before. And I also find that I'm motivated, in this specifically, it's more motivated by money and winning. And I don't ever like it when I do things motivated purely by money.
One thing that I notice about you though is anytime you have a redirect, you don't let it really affect you that much. And I think also because you're already on to the next thing. So by the time you've gotten a rejection, you already have 3 other things on your plate that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappointing, but at the same time, you don't have time for the disappointment because you're already on to the next.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where I do have a lot going on in my, well, because I'm trying to throw so much against the wall, hoping that something works. And all of the things that I'm doing, I really do feel that they're purposeful.
Yeah.
So it's hard to not feel like you're winning when you're doing things that are important to people, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how purposeful Sync is. I think the purpose in Sync music is that I get to still do music.
Yeah.
And then I still get to be with you more than not with you, you know?
I feel purposeful. This past season for me of redirecting has been a little bit of what you do. Like, it's too bi- like I'm too busy to feel it. But this last one, I definitely took a little bit of time to feel it because it was like, it felt like one blow after the next. So it was not necessarily this last blow that was like, oh, I'm super hurt by this. It was more so like, shit, how many blows, you know? Yeah. So for me, this past month, 2 months, this whole year, actually, redirecting from selling the house, moving into an Airbnb, to then moving into a fixer upper, and then moving out of it, and then living out of a suitcase, and then going to Nashville, and then getting back on the road, and then going to different cities, and randomly booking a show and going to film that, and like all of these things, that, you know, thinking I'm gonna book this movie and being in touch with the director and the producers that are like, oh my God, we love you and we want you for this role. You're the only person I'm seeing for this role. And then finding out, no, just kidding, you didn't get it. And it was gonna be a really big opportunity and all the things. But this last 2 months specifically, having personal things that I wanted to get done personally in my own life that have a timeline within themselves. And then finding out that I booked a show And so I would have to push my own personal thing that I wanted to get done out of the way. And so dealing with that, like being like a little disappointment, like, oh man, this was my only time that I had to get my own personal thing done because I'm about to start my touring. So, but it's okay. I booked a show. Great. So cancel my thing, go to do this show, and then find out that I was let go from the show and that I'm not actually doing the show after all. And then it was like another redirect. And then I found out that I wasn't doing the show right before I was about to go on stage and do my stand-up show. So it was like, I didn't have time really to like sit in it because it was like, well, I got to go do two shows tonight. So that sucks. But also I'm finishing my makeup for my show. So, okay, great. You know, and then those shows were awful, but whatever. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's a market that I've struggled in since my very first time going there back in the early 2000s. But anyways, yeah. And so it's been like a lot of redirecting, and literally I had to redirect my flight because I was in the city and I was supposed to be flying to the next city to go film the project. Mm. And I had to change my flight and redirect it back to LA to come back, where I had already packed up all my things out of Brandon and Maddie's house. And I was like, bye guys, I won't see you till next year. Packed up my whole life in my suitcase and came back 2 days later. And it was like, just kidding. Can I still live with you guys? So yeah, it's been a lot of redirecting, adjusting, going with the punches, bobbing and weaving. And then like I was telling Manny, like, okay, since I'm not doing this show anymore, I already rescheduled my own personal appointments. So I'm going to take this time to like feed myself things that I've wanted, like a facial, which I still haven't done. But I want to go get a facial. I want to go get a massage. I'm going to do things for myself since I've been so busy and just kind of taking the punches of like, you booked this, you didn't, just kidding. You're flying here, just kidding, you're not flying here. You're going here and just like, okay, and, you know, live out of your suitcase too at the same time. So it's not like I can just have my castle retreat anymore, you know? It's been very like hard, I guess.
Yeah.
So. This quote matches that so good. If at first you think it's rejection, it's probably actually newfound freedom.
For sure. For sure. And that's what I thought too about this TV project that I was supposed to be on that I ended up not being on. When I was offered it, I kind of had my doubts about it, being like, thank you for the opportunity, but I don't know if it's right for me. But it's good money and it's an opportunity with somebody that I really respect and really adore and would love to work with this person. And you called me out of the blue to ask me to work with this person. Yeah, I'm gonna do it, even though it kind of feels like not really for me, but okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, just kidding, you're not doing it. And I was like, well, that actually feels right. So thanks.
This is actually great too. Always take time out for rejuvenation and redirection. Inquire as you move along the path. There is no one best way. Different paths, different solutions. Refinement is a constant process of growth and better results.
Yeah. It was funny. I was having this conversation with my sister the other day, and I've talked about it here on the pod before of how one real pivotal moment in my life was when I was in college and my parents divorced. And like, again, it was kind of a coming from a quote perfect ministry family, you know, like they'd be at marriage retreats and conferences and speaking on their marriage and all sorts of stuff. And we were just so close. Like, it just felt like this family unit will be forever. There's nothing that can stop this. And then my parents split and it rocked us. Like, it rocked everybody. And I mean, it still affects us today, and it still affects dynamics within certain relationships and, you know, families of become new families. But I was talking to my sister about it, and I just said, as painful as that was and as hard as that was to process, I really wouldn't be who I am today, who I really like, without that moment. Like, one of the darkest moments of my life, I realized, like, if I didn't have that, Maddie and I would probably never be together. Mm. Based off kind of the timeline, based off the process, based off the things that I was becoming, based off the things that I was now looking for in someone, all those things happen because of one of the hardest things that I've had to walk through. Mm-hmm. Going through it was hell. It hurt, a lot of tears, a lot of cursing, a lot of like, just like, God, why?
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I look back in retrospect, I'm like, oh my God. Like, he actually used that to set me up for what would be the greatest, my favorite part of my entire life. And that's mm-hmm. Maddie. And I realized because of that, I'd walk through that whole process all over again. Mm-hmm. Now, again, saying that I would walk through that process, that painful moment, doesn't mean that it still hurts when painful moments come. Like this year, like me being like seriously just knocked down and my knee having total reconstruction surgery and me being out of work for an entire month, being on painkillers. I'm either on the couch or on the bed. Mm-hmm. Like that sucked. And now that I'm almost, let me see, I am 14 weeks post-surgery, I realize that this thing has taught me a lot. Like this injury, putting me on my back, has really knocked a little bit of the hustle out of me. Mm. I realized this year, man, I had just been grinding so hard and just like doing all these things. And I was making a living, but like in a sense, I wasn't really enjoying my life. Mm-hmm. And so this thing coming out of this injury, it has me dreaming again. I'm like, oh, I want to travel. Like we're planning trips. Yeah. And it's like, man, I want to just actually enjoy time. I'm going to actually work less mm-hmm. so I can enjoy moments with friends and family and all these things. And I realize like in a couple years from now, I'm probably going to look back on this dark moment in my life and be like, man, I am so thankful for what that brought out of me.
Yeah.
Like going through it, that's always the toughest thing. But then I'm looking back on different moments in my life and I'm like, man, that was hard as hell. But look what happened as a result of that. Like, yeah. Look what good. And I think about this, like whether you want to believe God is like this, like cosmic genius who can orchestrate all these things in your life or not. I have the belief that he does. So I got to believe that with him being all knowing, okay, he's less interested in the things that I would like to achieve, right? But he is far more interested in the person that I will become.
Yeah.
So all these things, and again, I don't think he puts bad things in our lives. Like I don't think like that knee injury was something he had in his head and was like, all right, I'm gonna really make right. Brandon get this message today. You don't learn today, Brandon. Yeah. You know? But I think he could take moments like that and he can use that to shape and to mold us in a deep way.
For sure.
Like, and I'm reading this other book right now. It's called, Deeply Formed by this pastor named Rich. He's out of New York. And he talks about this, that most of the things in our lives and the way that we structure our lives only shallowly shape us. So we have a generation, we have a lot of people who are only shaped in a shallow way because the thing that they're feeding on the most is social media. The thing that they're spending their time with the most is just watching Netflix or Hulu, you know, all these things. And they've structured their lives in a way. And what God usually does is he takes us through a process to form us in a deep place within ourselves. And I realized like that's what all those things are for. Like God actually had this process and this path for me to become this person that he thinks that is the best version of myself. And so what he does is he takes all these moments to form us in a deep way so that we can live from the inside out. Like yeah. There's these values and these perspectives that we actually get to live out of instead of just trying to change habits and the way that we talk and the way that we dress. Like we're not being shaped in a shallow way, but we're actually being formed in a deep way. Mm-hmm. And so,
that's yeah, good. This popped out, this quote, busyness is now the social norm that people feel they must conform to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Burnett says, or risk being outcast.
Right. What are you working on?
Busyness is now the social norm that people feel they must conform to or risk yeah. being outcast. It's kind of what you're saying. Like yeah. you're on the hustle so much building this living that, you know, probably makes you feel great. I know because, you know, a lot of times I'm like, man, it'd be so awesome to just be winning all the time and making a ton of money. And it would make me feel so important. Or if you're not that, then there is a little feeling of outcast because if you are continually getting your affirmations from a social device or what you see on TV or whatever it is, which is, if we're honest, that's what we're all doing.
yeah,
then it's really difficult to maintain any type of healthy boundary of like success or what life should really look like.
I remember
just as you were talking, I was thinking I need to rent an RV and just go into the mountains.
Aww.
And just connect on a natural nature.
To slow down.
Like, why not? And we've talked about it before. Yeah. Like, why don't we do stuff that we can afford to do, that we can easily do, that would probably make us deeper individuals. Like just going out, staying in a forest somewhere, connecting with God, sleeping in the RV, reading, listening to music, cooking, whatever. This. Stuff that would make you more of like a better person, connected, you know? And you don't do it. We end up just freaking staying at home doing nothing. And not, no, don't get me wrong. We want to watch as many Netflix Christmas movies as we can. Because
it's comfortable.
It's like, why don't we do more things?
Yeah. And it's also
go ahead, baby. I'm sorry.
It's also an experience together. Go ahead, Ange.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's community. It's connection to yourself, your body. It's connection to God via nature. They say that going for a walk in nature is equivalent to like 20 minutes of meditating. And in meditation, there's so much grounding that happens in there.
Yeah.
They say when you get off a long flight to go put your feet in grass, to go connect back to the earth.
That so literally happened this morning. Taking Bonzo on the walk around the block. I was looking at all the houses that people are living in that area. You got maybe one or two that are decent. Most are like, you know, pretty disheveled. And as I'm just walking and just noticing, I start thinking about our house that is not like what we used to live in or not what whatever. But I started like being really, really grateful. Because I started thinking, I wonder if most of these people have to live where they're living as opposed to just choosing to live there. And it's not that we have like a massive house and we're not living in like a fancy area at all. It's not like the area is different than the area that I'm walking in. But the fact that we're able to choose to live in this place made me feel really grateful. Because no, it's not the big house in the hills anymore. But I'm like, man, at least we chose this. At least we chose it. We didn't end up there because of bad circumstances or because, you know, like all of us at this table are pretty much choosing our life. Granted, is there more that we want? Would we want to be in a $5 million house in the hills again? Sure. But it doesn't rob us from the fact that all three of us have a choice in our life. Like, we're choosing where we're at, and we get to choose if we want to move, if we want to do something. Like, I just think that's, I don't know. And I didn't say one word on my walk. So I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I connected with God in a way where I wasn't even trying to. I was just walking and just observing, and it just started hitting me. Just like gratitude. And I know they always say, somebody has it worse than you. Somebody has it worse than you. When you physically see it, when I'm physically walking by a house and I'm like, oh my God, if I had to live in that house, I'd be angry.
Yeah.
Like, I would be upset, because I'm sure whoever owns the house doesn't care about the tenants. It's just windows are broken out. You know what I'm saying? It's just trashed. And the people have to live there. I think about the house that I went to go see yesterday, where it was owned by an interior designer. He's like old now. I think he's in his 70s. He's been there since like 1960 something.
Wow.
His freaking oven, what he cooked on, was literally this old school. I put it on my Instagram, one of my stories. It was this.
That was a real active working oven?
It is
an
active working oven.
Oh my God. You were in an antique store.
It was from way back then. And the oven was on the top, and he had the four little whatever. He doesn't even have a real stove. And he used it because he's been using it since it was around 30 something years ago.
Wow.
And he, you know, the house was very, you know, worn or whatever, but he just existed in it, because I think about it, I'm like, why did he stay here? And I think about it, I'm like, man, he's going in his 70s. Like, where could he move in a city like this?
Yeah.
He ain't got no choices. He's done working. He can't just be like, oh, I'm going to move to somewhere else. I'm going to sell it. My house has so much equity. It's not even a choice for him. So he stays in that house. But it's like an old ass house, one bathroom, three bedrooms, you know, small, 1200 square foot.
Wow.
Just existing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to even the story that you were saying before, I had this thought, and again, I love this language. Recently, Kanye West sat down on the show, The Drink Champs, and, you know, he went on a rant for 2.5 hours, some mm-hmm. good, some just like, oh, that's yay, you know?
Yeah.
But he was using this language of how when people bring change to something, he goes, they add something to the algorithm. And I think about, like, for me right now, the word, like culture and algorithm are kind of synonymous for me, in the sense that there is this script that most of us adopt in our lives. And this script comes with values, it comes with worldviews, it comes with ideas, dreams, all of that. And this is an algorithm that has been set before you, right? It is to, oh, find a partner, get married, you gotta own your home, mm-hmm. you gotta yada yada yeah, you know, all these sorts of things. This is like this algorithm that's fed to you mm-hmm. from the start, day mm-hmm. one. And again, I think the algorithm for so many of us is the grind, it's the busyness, it's the yeah. hustle. And I think about verses like Jesus, like, you know, obviously cars weren't around during his time, you know, horses and chariots were sure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you think about all the journeys he went on, what was that guy doing? He was walking, mm. right? And I don't assume Jesus was the type that was like a fast walker. And here is like the most important dude in the entire universe walking places.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly.
Slowly. Like enough to like have a conversation with a friend. So he wasn't moving at a pace fast enough where his breath was heard. Like he's running on a treadmill like, right. All right, man, hey, right. Where are we going to get, you know? And he's walking. And I just think of like, what a shock to the algorithm mm. of our day to day. That, again, even the thought of like walking slowly, like I have to walk slow now because my knee is still being repaired. And it's like, it's weird because I finally got to a place where I could actually accept that. Like when I just got off crutches last week, I was like, I want to go fast now. I'm ready. And now I'm like, I'm just walking slow and I'm just trying to take it all in. And I realize like, oh, this is actually an assault on the algorithm that's been fed to me, that I got to go fast, that I got to be places, that I'm too slow. Like even going out in nature, like it's a shock to the algorithm of the hustle and bustle of living in a city, a metropolis like Los Angeles. You know, and I think about all those little things like being out in nature. Like this is like what you're doing is you're resetting the algorithm so that you can see things in a different way again.
Mm-hmm.
And like to step out of that, you know, and I've really been thinking about that since watching that Kanye interview last week is like, man, what am I doing to actually like either add to the healthy algorithm or yeah. shock the algorithm that I know is toxic for me right. as a whole person?
Interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed that interview too because the way he was talking, he kept talking about his house, which was his backpack. Because here's Kanye worth $9 billion and he's like, I'm going places and I'm just asking people to stay there. Like I'm not like
yeah.
buying hotels or, you know, going to nice places. He's just like showing up to a city and he's hitting up friends or he said his goal in life was to become such a person that where everywhere he went, people were willing and offering him to stay with them. Like he wanted like to impact. Jesus. Yeah. He wanted to impact people to a place where when he showed up to a city, the people are like, come stay with me. Mm-hmm. Like we freaking yeah. love you, dude. And I think about that. I'm like, that's pretty freaking gnarly to think that way. So he says, here's yeah. my home. And yeah. it's his backpack or he yeah. says his house. His backpack is his house. Wherever his kids are is his home.
Yeah, when his Nori FaceTimes him. But yeah. he's like essentially saying like, there is a different kind of currency here that I'm trying to live by. That's relationship.
Exactly.
And that's the impact that I have on another human's life. Like that's the currency right there. So any city that I show up to, he talks about when he was just in Germany and he had his mask up, he had his whole mask on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he shows up to a hotel and they're like, hey, we're sorry. We don't have any rooms for you actually. And he pulls up his mask and they're like, oh, let's see what we could do. And mm-hmm. then they found a room for yeah. him. But he was like, yeah, he's like, man, my relationships, that's my currency. And I was like,
oh, no money, God. Just like who he's becoming, who he is. But if you really, I mean, I know people probably think he's crazy, but I think it's pretty genius, like that a new way of thinking to where, man, you really stop needing things. You stop even course correcting because I feel like again, I think it's dangerous when we hold so tightly to our plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I just don't remember the last time anything went as planned.
Right.
I don't even, like, even dude, me marrying Ange, yeah,
you
is
falling
not,
in love was not part of the plan.
I was not planning on being with a little Mexican comedian.
No.
Not even a little bit. It wasn't even the closest thing to my plan. Mm-hmm. I fully thought to marry a white chick mm-hmm. who liked rap mm-hmm. and loved to dance and was low key internally black. That's in my mind. That's what I, it's literally for 10 years, oh, you man. Know? And I don't think I planned anything. It's definitely nothing that has worked. I know I put in the work and the effort, but I think my plans suck.
I feel like overall plans, great. Specific details of it, that's all kinds of things. So, like, I had an overall plan of coming to the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Success. I'm here.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be a dramatic actress, though. I thought I was going to be a rape victim on Law & Order SVU. That's still my dream role. But no, I started telling jokes. So that was a different detail. I thought I was going to get my multicam sitcom comedy show when I was playing a young college age girl. Then that ship sailed. Then I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to be like, you know, mid to late 20s, young girl figuring out life. Then that ship sailed. And then I'm like, okay, young mom, maybe I could be young mom roles, you know? And so my auditions nowadays are definitely either, you know, lawyer, detective, so-and-so, or like mom, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm still in the industry. I'm still getting auditions, but it's not the college girl that I thought I was going to be. And it's not the, you know, friend's age of like, let's figure out life and dating and stuff like that. Like, if I were on a show now and I was going on a date, it's probably because I'm divorced. And you know what I mean? Like, that's my storyline. So, like, the overall, great. Details of it, man, that didn't go like I thought it was going to.
I feel like your second book's going to be awesome.
My second book is going to be that.
I feel like the second book's going to come after the getting what you know.
I was going through my phone the other day. I was telling Brandon about it, looking for different text messages. And I found one of us. Well, first of all, that dream one is really funny. I got to read it because it's funny. It's off topic, but I'm going to read it anyways. It's funny. But there was one that I had just gotten bad news about something. And then I think you didn't get a placement or something. And I was like, man, we should write a book called Almost, Babe, or something like that.
I hate Five the minutes. Idea of almost, man. There's something in me that wants so bad. Like, anytime I take these detours, while I'm on the detour, there's something in me that wants so badly to be affirmed as I'm good at what I'm trying to do. Mm. And I don't even know what that affirmation looks like. In a worldly sense, in a very, it's all based on numbers.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm making money at something, that means I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to, like, quantify it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if not, I just feel like, am I wasting time? Like, I feel so defeated, you know? So, like, gosh, am I just writing songs? And I don't, you know... I combat those things with truth. Like, okay, out of all the songs, bruh, this company is thinking about you. You know, mm-hmm. like I've had two songs close to being used by Apple. You know, I'm still waiting to hear if I get that one movie trailer. You know, two movie trailers this year.
Hey,
Sonic and the American Underdog one. You know, last year there were no movie trailers.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of like,
nobody said no to you because you didn't even have options. Yeah. But this year.
No, last year was good.
Lots of people said no to you.
Yeah. Yeah. This year.
Perspective.
Last year, it was good. This year, not so much. It's ending strong. Like, you know, like I got my Freeform songs. I got a couple other things in the fire. A couple of, you know, Wheel of Fortune sings, you know. So I'm like, I'm definitely... Bless you, my baby.
Sorry,
I'm
me.
Definitely appreciative, but I don't I think the one thing I find the most on the detour is just the feeling of not enough. Like, I'm just not winning. And that bothers me. And the longer I'm on the detour, the longer I feel that way. So I have to, like, detour from my detour to get back on the road of, it's okay, you are enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are enough. You cannot make decisions based on who you are, based on money or anything else, because it's going to be a really sad day for you. I saw Mike Tyson said that today. I was scrolling on the gram, and he said the same thing. He goes, if you think that having a lot of money is going to make you happy, then you've never had a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then they ask him, well, what's important? He goes, I'm important. My kids are important. Mm-hmm. This new world that I've created, family and friends and relationship, that's important.
Yeah.
And this is coming from somebody who's had all of it and lost it
all. Was like literally king of the world.
Yep.
Like top of the world.
Lost it all. Wow. And now he's like, money ain't going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So I keep that stuff in my face so that I can always remember it's never going to be about money. I think it's something different. I think it is just in me. It's someone that, like, I value my time, and I don't ever want it to be wasted.
Yeah.
And if I think something is worth putting all my time into, I'd love to see that thing work.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Tyson was like, again, he lost everything, truly. Like, name, reputation, money. There was one point where this was height of his career. There's a story where he was driving on the freeway, and I forgot what car he was driving. I mean, it was an expensive, nice-ass car, and it broke down, and he pulled over on the side of the road. He walked to the next car dealership, like an exit or two up, bought a new car, and just drove that car home. Literally just left his expensive ass car just on the side of the freeway because it broke down. And he just walked to the next exit, got a new car, and that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, was literally thrown. I mean, he made all the wrong decisions.
Yeah, no. He ended up broke.
It does mean a lot, like, for a dude like that to say something like that. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he even lost his freedom for a little bit. So, I don't know, man. I think if you're in this same position, man, and you're on a detour, if you're listening and feeling like, what's next? Try your best to just look up from looking down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like there's a trudging. There's a looking down at your feet, like a hopelessness. Like, try your best to look up, look around. And I think if you allow your mind to open up, to take in what you're seeing on a daily basis, you will start understanding and learning that there are some beautiful things in your life that you may not be able to acknowledge because you're always looking down. If you can just look around, like my walk this morning, like if you can just look around and see that things are probably not as bad as you think they are, and just don't stop walking. Yeah. I pray you never stop walking, Queen. You either be, I pray in 10 years we have a whole different story to tell, all of us, because we didn't stop walking, you know?
Yeah.
Before we wrap things up,
I'm going to read this quote too first. It is the first time I haven't fought the feeling. Haven't tried to control it with closed eyes or a redirection of mind. Instead, I embrace it, flexing my hands around the shaking steering wheel, celebrating the release of dark energy as it spreads throughout my body.
Release it.
Interesting. Release it. Yep.
This is completely off topic, but it's hilarious, so I wanted to share so we could end on a laugh here. This is a text message between me and Manny. I don't know how long ago this was. A few years ago, probably. Because I don't erase any text messages.
I erase all stuff all the time. I get OCD. I can't stand this.
I went through my phone yesterday and I found text messages from like 2016.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so
bad. I don't
bad.
Erase anything. But then I get to read things like this. They're hilarious. I text Manny. I'm awake, my baby. Me too. Welcome to the day. And
still doing that.
I go, I had about a dream that I cheated on you with Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Did I say good for you?
No, I go. Oh. I was at his house, and throughout the whole dream, it was like I was single and we were talking and connecting. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm totally hitting it off with the Rock. And then we hooked up. And it wasn't until then in the dream that I was married and all of a sudden you were there and I was trying to hide it from you. But then I told you and you were sad and like asking me to choose. And of course I chose you. So weird. I woke up with anxiety. And then you go, you chose me? Babe, that wasn't smart. You could have worked something out. Come on, that's The Rock. And then I go,
exactly.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I did consider it.
That's exactly what I would have said. Like, hey, we can figure out a situation.
So, anyway.
I love The Rock.
Redirect. When you think you're going to be with The Rock, and sometimes you're not, you know, you just redirect.
Can you imagine me and him working out? We work out at the same time together. I work out with him.
Dude, be clanging and banging in the Iron Paradise.
In the Iron freaking Paradise. Me and him.
And then I'll be clanging and banging later. Ayo.
In a different kind of paradise.
I can be like his little son or whatever. It's not a bad situation.
You're like 5 years younger than him.
No, you could be like a nephew.
You keep thinking you're younger than you are.
What's wrong with me?
I could be his son.
I swear.
Yeah, Brandon could be his son. You, me, his brother.
I'd be thinking, I know
me
I'm
and
his
Pop's
brother.
Just fishing. Just drinking Terramana.
Drinking Terramana.
Eating French toast.
God, I want to be his friend so bad.
Yeah, he would be.
For those who don't know, I support everything The Rock does. Every single thing that he puts out, I own. His headphones are right over there.
Oh, my God.
I try to support him in every which way. Shout out to The Rock. If you ever listen to this, that would be hilarious. Anyways, we love you guys. And like we say at this time, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.
Cheers.